It's time for JT the Brick.
Football season is finally here.
Old-fashioned, hard-nosed football.
JT, how about that performance last night? We haven't seen that team look like that in forever.
Put the team first and played their ass off on Sunday.
The cream of the crop.
This is the place to come for Raiders.
We're getting the Raiders. We're getting this iconic brand. And I hope this city embraces it. I think they will.
Come to the Raiders and become infamous.
JT the Brick.
The Oakland Raiders select Josh Jacobs.
Under center, here comes Jacobs. Jumps, dives over the top, touchdown! Touchdown, Raiders!
Josh Jacobs, the beast running up the middle.
I want to see more of that this year.
Raiders upset the Colts.
Believe me, the effort, the concentration, the details were there tonight. It gives us something to really build on.
And I'm just sick of losing.
This offense is going to be tough to stop.
You know, I got a real good feeling about all these players.
Raider Nation, unite!
And now, here's JT the Brill.
Out of the gate, JT with you. Raider Nation, unite! The Raiders are rolling, and they're coming to Vegas. The home of the Raiders will be Las Vegas next year. And the Raiders are in the playoffs as of tonight as the second wild card. And if Kansas City loses in the next few hours, which I predict they will, the Raiders will be in first place in the AFC West later on in the evening. Now, I can't guarantee that. I don't know. I don't bet your money. But I just got a good feeling about this game tonight at Azteca Stadium in Mexico City because the Chargers went to Colorado Springs for the week to work out in the altitude. Kansas City did not. If the Chargers lose, they're eliminated. They go to 4-7, they're done. If they win, they go to 5-6, and they're right in the hunt to get hot, maybe, and run the table and get in this thing. So tonight is the first playoff game for the Chargers. And in the Philip Rivers era, he's been down this road before. They've been down this road a bunch with Rivers, where they've had to win a bunch of games in the second half to be in consideration, and for whatever reason, they find a way to do it. Kansas City's the better team. We know Mahomes is not at 100%, but he's good enough to play, and we'll see. As both of these teams are going to fight it out tonight on Monday Night Football, I think it's a great game. We're only on for an hour because we're airing Monday Night Football here tonight, so we got a quick hour. Mark Anderson joins us Mondays with Mark. In about 20 minutes after, we'll talk about UNLV. I was there on Saturday, 7-7 at the half. We'll talk about that, what happened. Look, the team can't beat anybody. Team can't beat anybody. They got some good players, and they just can't win. If you can't win a game in the Mountain West, I think we know the Wolves are at the door. Like to see them win, and I thought they were good enough to win that game. Very similar to Cincinnati. I'll make the comparison with Andy Dalton and Armani Rodgers. Anytime if Armani wanted to play, and he proved that he wanted to play, and he could play because he can play, and if he went out there, they would have won the game, in my opinion. Just like Andy Dalton, if the coach just would have looked at Andy Dalton with like 4 minutes to go until the half and said, hey, Andy, by the way, you're playing the second half, good chance the Bengals would have beat the Raiders. But we got all these experiments going on. We're going to get Oblad and we're going to try to figure out him as maybe all the coaches are going to be let go. We're going to play that experiment out and see how it works. And the Bengals, fortunately for the Raiders, played out an experiment, putting in a guy who's never going to play in this league. And they said, hey, Raiders, have at him. And they did. If Cincinnati wasn't that bad, the Raiders would have been in for an even tougher game. But the Raiders win and they move on, and that's all I bleeping care about. Win the game and move on. Brought to you by Golden Entertainment, the home of PT, Sierra Gold, Sean Patrick, the SG Bar. Spent a lot of time in their properties this weekend, the Sierra Gold on Jones and the 215 with buddies, watching college football to the SG Bar for a little bit on Sunday before the Raiders viewing party. Also, the Raiders viewing party, bravo, the Las Vegas ballpark on Sunday. Incredible donation by the Raiders, $30,000. Raiders write checks. $30,000 to the Special Olympics. That was great to see. All the kids who were there, all the people that were having fun, and the Raiders won. And I watched it on the grass in the outfield watching the game. Can we please do that more? Can we do that for the Raiders viewing party? That was about as good as it could be with the weather, the Red Rock Mountains behind us, the palm trees. It was fantastic. The service was great. We had a blast at the official watch party for the Raiders at Las Vegas Ballpark, my favorite baseball stadium in all of baseball. Let's get to the Raiders and how they did it after dropping early 7-0. Moreau's been having a big year at tight end. Carr found him in a misdirection.
Carr is going to throw it. Drops it wide open. Touchdown! Touchdown! Foster Moreau's fourth touchdown catch of the season. He broke open. The Bengals had no idea how to cover it.
Yeah, Brett Musburger on the call. That was pretty important at that point in time. People were wondering, you know, turnovers, what's going on? What happens if the Bengals go up 14-0? The Raiders were able to answer in that game. But this win was about Derek Carr, who was fabulous on the day. 25-29, 292 yards, a touchdown in the air, and finally this highlight reel run for him.
Here's your third down from the 3-yard line. Carr is going to throw it. Steps up. Can't find anybody open. He's going to run with it. Stay on his feet. He's got open. Dive in zone. Touchdown, Raiders. What a move by Derek Carr. His second rushing touchdown ever. Oh, my. He went airborne. Everybody in the Raider front office holding their breath now when your quarterback goes up in the air like that. We need that dude.
We need him to run more. That Raiders need him to do that more because that's an aspect to the Raiders that we don't see. Carr gets criticized for his fumbles at the goal line, right? When he goes for the pylon and he fumbles it. He's famous for that, but he's also famous for being a consistent quarterback with a high percentage. And for him to get a rushing touchdown, that's really important going forward. You got to keep some of these defenses honest. Josh Jacobs, 23 carries for 112 yards. Tyrell Williams, 4 receptions for 82 yards. And Mad Max Crosby with 4 sacks, a rookie record for the Raiders franchise history. Mad Max beyond Alameda. What a performance. Tremendous for him. So the Raiders defense is showing up big. And Trayvon Mullen, who won a national championship, remember in that Clemson game, how great he was. As I've been telling you, I think the subs, he was a sub to start the year, are better than the starters. Great to see him close it out.
Mad Max gets down in his stance, sees if he can get there again. Finley back to the two, flushed out of the pocket. In a run, Mad Max trying to get at him. He'll fire the ball, and it is intercepted. Wrestling forward is Trayvon Mullen. Yes, sir. Two rookies come up huge. How about this rookie class with the Raiders?
Great call again by Brent Musburger on that. Phenomenal call overall, mentioning the rookie class and how good the rookies are. Just great to see that the rookies are making plays. Now, when you're a 4-win team and you've been struggling for a while, you get high draft picks. You're able to get rid of Amari Cooper for a first-round pick. You don't pay Khalil Mack, which is turning out to look good for the Raiders, and they get the Bears' first-round picks, and the young players are making plays. Very important that those young players make plays. We're excited about that. We are thrilled about that. So I like the way the Raiders are playing here. Was that an ugly win? Hell yeah, it was ugly. It was 17-10. They didn't come close to covering the Vegas spread. But who cares? And Vegas is going crazy about the end of the Niner-Cardinal game. Well, that's what happens when you go into the deep water. With the gamblers here, you could get screwed out of a game, out of a total. A lot of people wanted the Raiders to win that game. A lot of people I know weren't expecting them to cover. They win the game 17-10, and the Raiders are now 6-4, 5-1 at home this year. Remember, one of the games in London, the rest in Oakland. There are 2 remaining games left at the famed Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. The Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Man, did the NFL screw the Raiders, giving them those last 2 games to close down the Coliseum. But the barbecues, the excitement, the silver and black, we want to hear from Raider fans in Vegas. We know that you're listening up north, 876-1340. If you're out of the market, 702-876-1340. And get on in here and support the silver and black. After the game, John Gruden on all the efforts that we saw throughout the game. Everybody seemed to step up, individually. Playing well.
You know, Max Crosby, 4 sacks. Swearinger is here for 2 days. He leads our team in tackles. Trayvon Mullen, another rookie with a key interception. Really proud of Derek Carr, other than the 1 interception. Played well. We made some tragic mistakes, jumping off sides, fumbling the ball in the red zone. Could have been a different story today, but we're happy to win.
A lot of penalties for this team, again, as we talk about the penalties. Two turnovers in the game. Oakland won the time of possession, 35 minutes, 22 seconds, to the Bengals, 24-38, which is important there. But they got to cut down on the penalties. The penalties have been frustrating for the Raiders because now we expect them to happen in every game. They lead the NFL in penalty yards, and they've got to cut that number down. They've got to cut it down. They had seven penalties for 42 yards. It wasn't the end of the world. And I told you going into the game, I thought that the Raiders would be able to go and possibly rush for over 170 yards. The Raiders rushed for 113. The Bengals rushed for 173. But here's a really good stat. The Bengals passing on the day, which was really important. The Bengals passed for a total of 73 yards on the day. That's incredible. That's because of the Raider pass rush. Gruden talked about Mad Max Crosby and the game that he had. This was his coming out party for Max Crosby for the entire NFL.
He's been near the quarterback. He's been hitting the quarterback. He's been batting balls down from the quarterback. And today, he got to the quarterback. So we're really pleased with his progress. You got to give him a lot of credit. He's a rookie from Eastern Michigan. He's gotten stronger. He's gotten better. And you got a great future here.
No doubt about it. Gruden talked about the 6-4 record, which I think is critical now because the Raiders now are in a position to make the playoffs. No guarantees, but that 6-4 record puts them in the conversation.
It just says that, you know, we're getting better. You know, we're able to find ways to win. There's an old saying around here, just win, baby. And you know, we've fought our hearts out to put ourselves in a 6-4 position. That doesn't mean anything. We got a lot of respect for the Jets and a lot of work to do.
Football fans come to this show for the best NFL and Raider content. It will remain that way. When the Raiders win or lose, you come to us on a Monday. We preview the games no matter what they're doing. We get the biggest names on. And wow, I got some big guests coming up this week. Raiders have been texting me, who do you want? We're working on a player, and we're working on one of the greatest legends to ever play for the Raiders this week. It is brewing. And we have two Golden Knight games, Tuesday, Thursday, expanded Vegas Golden Knights coverage here on the flagship, as we'll go 2.5 hours both days, Tuesday, Thursday. Sammy, start us off. Go ahead, Raider Nation. What do you got?
Whoa, what's going on, Raider Nation? JT, what is good, my brother?
Everything's good. They're winning. Games they're supposed to win. Now the Jets are on the horizon, and all of a sudden the Jets are putting up points. That's not an easy game with the Jets putting up points now.
No, it's not, man. It's definitely a concern, man. But like you said, man, they're headed in the right direction. I love the attitude, the way that they're playing on defense now. It seems like their defense has kicked it up a notch. But my concern for you is this. When we kicked Antonio Brown to the curb, I thought that Terrell Williams was going to step up and not necessarily be like the main guy, so to speak, but one of the guys. But it seems like he's got 30 receptions so far. But it seems like he has good halves, not necessarily a good game from beginning to end. And what is it about him? Because I don't remember him being a standout in San Diego. Is it just he's a good number two, or does he have the potential to be the main guy, or how do you see this guy?
Thanks for the call. He's a good number two. I think Tyrell Williams could have games where he could have 8-9 receptions and over 100 yards, but he was brought in to be the number two for Antonio Brown until AB melted down. And that's the only, I wouldn't call it a criticism. The only concern I have for the Raiders is that too many times there are games where everybody doesn't get enough touches. That I see Darren Waller have a big catch early and then he disappears for an entire quarter. And I'm like, wait a second. Go back to Waller three times in a row. I mean, back to back to back. And if he's double teamed, he's going to get a flag. He'll get open. He'll go catch it. Go to Waller. Same thing with Tyrell Williams. I was screaming at the Las Vegas ballpark. There was a 3rd-and-2 early. Put Hunter Renfrow in motion. Have him run 4 yards. Lay down on the grass and just hit him in the window for a first down. You want to give it to Josh Jacobs all the time. He gets it. Then you got other backs who want their touches. There's not enough footballs to go around. That's the toughest part of Derek Carr's job, is that everybody wants to get a couple of touches every half, and he doesn't have enough footballs to go around. Yeah, I'd like to see guys get hot, but it seems to be the philosophy of the Gruden offense, which is dedicated to the run, the double tight end set, and the fullback, is to run it down your throat, pass in the short to mid-term range, and don't take deep shots. Again, this team is not taking deep shots downfield. Either they don't see them, or they don't believe that they can get guys beyond coverage because they're not doing it. Aaron, you're up next. Go ahead. Thank you.
Amen to all you just said, JT. You hit that right on the head. But I just want to say that I was at the LV ballpark yesterday, too. You know, the nation was out there. We were having fun. You know, I kind of felt like we were at the Coliseum, you know, just a little peek, you know, for all the Las Vegas fans who are jumping on, you know, who are not having a team, but with Vegas getting the Raiders, you know. I saw a good turnout, and I was happy about that. But I've been a nation member since I was 11 years old, and, you know, I'm excited for the nation to come here. I can't believe it. I still can't believe it, JT.
How about that?
Anyway,
how about that Las Vegas ballpark? Isn't it great to be in there to watch football?
That was beautiful. You know, I was sad when Cashman closed down, but hey, it is what it is, you know.
Yeah.
In with the old, out with the new. But anyway, we need to keep on running the ball, you know. We got to feed the big boys up front because they're mowing guys down, you know. We have to mow teams down as well.
Yeah.
We have to.
Yeah, I agree with you. Thanks for the call. There's a lot of good that's happening with the Raiders now, and you mentioned something really important at the end, the physicality of the team. Richie Incognito is a bully. Trent Brown is a bully. Rodney Hudson, Gabe Jackson, that offensive line is the strength of this team. And they can go into Kansas City, they can go into other places and play a physical brand of football. And then they execute. Carr executes on third down. I think they put too much pressure on Carr on third down. I've been saying it all year. I'd like to see him throw it on second down more. They hand it off, and they put enormous pressure on Carr on third and two, third and three, third and four to complete passes. And he does. He's unbelievable. I'd like to see Carr throw and stretch the field a little bit more. I think those guys can get open and get it done. Let's get out to Ruben. Ruben, thanks for calling the Las Vegas Sports Network. Go.
Hey, JT, just got back from, I went to the game.
Mm-hmm.
I just got back home here in Vegas, and man, it was rocking from the tailgating. I tailgated there in the black hole tailgate section. The game itself was just, it was a close game. It was good. The energy, the vibe. I can't wait till they move out here, man. Heartbroken they're moving out here because I prefer Oakland, but yeah. I'm happy. I can't wait.
Yeah, everybody wanted to stay in Oakland for all these years, and they couldn't get the deal done. But how nice is it that they're going to have a $2 billion stadium, a global fan base, and finally the revenue structure with a new stadium to go out and get better players and do what they want to do?
Yep, exactly. Yeah. I understand it's a business. I mean, I deliver daily to the site, to the practice facility and the stadium. I deliver daily there for the construction workers for supplies. So it's a business. It's good. Yeah. It was rocking. Like I said, I just turned on the radio when I was coming into Vegas. I heard your show started. I just got back from Oakland. I was in section 103 by the Black Hole, it was rocking, amazing. All I got to say to the nation, one game at a time, guys. I hate, you know, I really don't like getting ahead of ourselves thinking playoffs right now. If the playoffs start today, no, they don't. Let's just do it one game at a time. We got the Jets next, and let's just one game at a time. Win, lose, or tie, Raiders till I die.
I love it. Thank you. There's a guy who went to the game, man. The thrilling dream of my life is to take calls from Vegas Golden Knight fans who are going to the game, Raider fans coming back from the game. I have a dream, and that's the dream for this show, to get fans who actually go to games to call in on what they see. That is fantastic. We got time for one more. Appreciate Sal. Sal, thanks for waiting. You're up.
Hey, JT, just wanted to comment in. I was at the ballpark myself yesterday watching the game, and it was pretty exciting to be out there with a lot of Raider fans and just take in the game. But to comment in on what you were, how you started the show about, you know, the Raiders only having two games left, it kind of fits in. You know, I'm going to be a new season ticket holder at the new stadium here, and it kind of, you know, it sucks for the people of Oakland, but, you know, I've been a Raider fan all my life, and I've been to lots of games up there, and I just can't imagine what's going through their minds with, you know, with the way the team is playing. And, you know, in the last two games, I mean, they could have at least gave us a rival, you know, the last two games, but I'm just excited for the team, and you know what? It's good to be a Raider right now, and, you know, just win, baby. Just win.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. Way to start off the show, everybody. Really appreciate it. We have tickets to give out for the Wilder-Ortiz fight throughout the week. I'm excited about that. We have big weeks. I'm going to be a big part of the fight, the heavyweight championship of the world for one of the belts is down here. We're excited for that. I want to tell you about our new personal injury attorney, Sam and Ash, because you deserve what's right. If you've been injured in an accident, don't talk to an insurance agent or claims adjuster. Talk to Sam and Ash. Look, the insurance company's job is to deny you everything on your injuries because they don't want to give you what's fair. And we know that in this town. Come on, we know that about Vegas. They'll get you the compensation you deserve because you deserve what's right. Go to SamAndAsh.com. 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 Your new personal injury attorneys.
Jenkins and Woods and Stevenson and Grimes are the receivers. Oblad looking, rolling to his left, still looking, throwing for the end zone, and the pass is intercepted by Hawaii at the two-yard line. Oblad had time, and the pass was way off target, and it was intercepted by Hawaii. The Rebels needed a touchdown. They got an interception.
All right, I was at the game on Saturday and went to the Rebel alumni. Not that I am one, but I was invited to their tailgate. It was fantastic. Everybody out there tailgating, having a great time. The weather was spectacular. Was here with a group from Lotus Broadcasting out there supporting this team. And now UNLV, 0-6 in conference, 2-8 overall on the season. Mondays with Mark Anderson as we begin. And, Mark, they were in that game, 7-0. Hawaii scores 7-7 going into the half. What was your perspective from the first half and the adjustments in the second half from Hawaii?
Well, the big thing is they changed quarterbacks, which they actually did in the first half. And as Tony Sanchez said after the game, it wasn't so much the passing game that changed. It was the running part of the that changed from the quarterback, where he picked up some key third and short, fourth and short plays, ran for two short touchdowns, and that was, from my standpoint, that was really the difference in the game. I don't know that they did much differently other than that. I was just really impressed with UNLV's defense. I love their game plan. I thought they executed it really well. It's a shame for them that their offense really struggled.
What is the company line, the school line, and their real story, or what your opinion is on Amani Rodgers? Because I'm down there before the game, and he looks like Randall Cunningham. He looks like an NFL quarterback with the headset on. And to me, it would have been the perfect game at any point to get him in the game in the second half to win the game. Where is he? What's the story? And why is he not available?
He's been cleared to play. It's been up to him, you know, and his game, is, as you know, is largely based on his ability to run. And he keeps saying he doesn't feel comfortable being able to run and cut. But, you know, I think he could play if he really wanted to. I think he's, you know, there are a number of theories out there about what's going on, mm-hmm. whether he's afraid of re-injuring himself. Maybe he's trying to work his way into getting a medical red shirt and transferring.
Yeah.
I think there might be something to that. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he's got people in his ear saying that don't play another down here so you can get this year back and go somewhere else. So I don't have any solid reporting on that, mm-hmm. but, you know, that it would not surprise me a bit if that's what's going on.
It's the elephant in the room in this town. The fact that he was... If he could have played in that game, it would have been the perfect opportunity for him to have a signature moment in that game. Hawaii wasn't playing well. They weren't running away with this game. And I think his ability and his experience would have really mattered in that game. And what a shame. Look, if he ends up transferring, he wants to play somewhere else. You know, these are big decisions that young men make at college, and I don't criticize them like load management in the NBA or what an NFL football player decides to do, but just really disappointing that a unique athlete who meant so much to this program, if he could have got in that game, I just hope that Tony and the rest of that team would have looked at him and said, get in the game, we can win this, because Oblad wasn't going to get the job done. What was his struggles like in the second half? You know, trying to hit open receivers in space. I thought he made a lot of mistakes outside the pocket.
Yeah, and you know, it's probably the worst passing game he's had.
Yeah.
And if you remember, he had a tight end open early in the game. I don't think it would have been a touchdown. I don't think the tight end would have outrun the secondary to get there. But it would have been a 30, 40-yard game probably. I mean, there was no one around him. And he overthrew the player by like 10 yards. And I think, I don't know if that shook him necessarily, but he just from afar, it just seemed like he was kind of rattled. And I think Tony Sanchez tried to calm him down, tried to get his confidence going, but he just never got into a rhythm. I'm not saying if he hits that pass, suddenly all is good.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to know that his confidence is a little bit higher at that point. And he's probably feels like he can get into more of a rhythm, because we've seen times in other games where once he gets going, you know, he really starts to light it up a little bit. He's not a dynamic passer, but he's a good enough passer to where he can at least get the offense going, and he just never had it. And I agree that would have been the perfect game for Armani Rodgers to get in there with his running ability. Hawaii wouldn't have had many answers for it, and they might have pulled that game out.
That's exactly. We didn't talk before the show. That's exactly what the people I was sitting with were saying. It was like, yeah, you got a chance to put Armani Rodgers in the game in a critical moment, and this could be not a legacy game for him. They're out of it. But just would have been a nice signature moment, because Oblad on the day was 10 of 22 for 118 yards, a touchdown, and two interceptions. He didn't have it. He didn't breed confidence in his teammates, and it was a manageable game there midway through the third quarter. And for UNLV to get shut out in the second half of that game in a must-win game, they've been must-win games for the last 3 weeks, it was really disappointing. What was it like after the game with Tony in the locker room and the answers that you heard?
Yeah, I think Tony Sanchez is actually pretty relaxed, surprisingly so. You can read into that a number of things. I think he knows what the situation is. I think he is pretty much at peace with it, whatever happens. So I don't think he's getting all that stressed out about it, and he wants these players just to win so they can go out on a high note, and whatever happens in his case happens. And so he's much more relaxed than he was even a month or two ago, so if that tells you anything. So, and the players, you know, they're really disappointed, as you would expect. In the defensive players seem especially disappointed, which they played their hearts out. That's one of the best defensive performances I've seen from UNLV team in a long time. And so, you know, you have to think that they're, amongst themselves at least, they felt like the offense let them down.
I agree. I thought in the first half their secondary did a really nice job in coverage and gave, I thought, the defensive front an opportunity to really put pressure on Hawaii's quarterbacks. And in the second half, you know, a couple of big plays here and there, but with UNLV not able to sustain drives and move the balls, I think the most disappointing part of this, going back to Tate Martell, who played at Gorman, and again, that hasn't worked out perfectly with all of his transferring to Ohio State and Miami, and the fact that UNLV is moving into a brand new state-of-the-art NFL stadium, the fact that UNLV is Vegas, and Vegas is bright lights and big money, and the fact that we're close to West Coast powerhouses like Mater Dei and Bosco and Los Angeles and the West Coast, to be sitting here at this stage 0-6 in conference without a stud quarterback who was recruited to come in here, and that was the goal with Armani, and he doesn't want to play. It's obvious to everybody. And not have the pick of a couple of players who are coming into this program, looking at that football stadium that's being built for the Raiders, and say, I want a quarterback that's going to play here for a couple of years and be a star. I hope they figure it out, Mark, because it was disappointing there. Everybody was there on Saturday, was there to support this team, and it was a complete letdown to score in the first quarter and then get shut out for the next three.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I will say that they do have a quarterback who's committed, who they are really high on. You never really know. I mean, they thought when they got Armani Rodgers, he was going to lead them to all these great wins. So, I mean, you never really know. But I think the main reason they got this quarterback is because of the new facility and the new stadium. So, otherwise, I don't think he comes here. So, now we'll see what happens. If Tony Sanchez gets fired the day after the Reno game or 2 days afterward, will he keep his commitment? I don't know. He's one of three guys from J. Sarah in Southern California who are committed, and all of them are supposed to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
So, if they kind of are coming here as a block, would they go somewhere else as a block? I don't know. But Sanchez is actually putting together a really good recruiting class.
Yeah.
They're ranked third in the Mountain West. So you're seeing the effects of the new facility and the new stadium right now, just in the recruiting class. And there are some Sanchez supporters who want him to get at least another year to see what he can do with that behind him, because he really hasn't had that. It's all been more theory than reality, and now it's finally reality. But there are others who look at his record and look at who the opponent they're playing on Saturday in San Jose State, and look at the 4-6 record San Jose State's bringing in, and wonder why he couldn't at least be in San Jose State's position, where they've had some nice games this season.
Yeah, it's borderline embarrassing that this team doesn't have a win in conference and San Jose State has the record that they do. I mean, you didn't talk to anyone during the Mountain West preview and when everybody was out here that thought that UNLV wouldn't win a game in conference, did you?
No, no, I didn't think so. I thought I thought they had a shot to make a bowl game this season if Armani Rogers stayed healthy. And that was always the thing I said, but then he got off to a slow start, and I'm not even sure now if he stayed healthy whether they're winning a bowl or not, because I just don't think he ever really had himself this season. So, but they definitely played a lot worse than I thought. And the Hawaii game, they actually played pretty well for the most part. And they've had moments here and there where they played well, but for the most part, they've been getting their bell rung against a lot of these teams. Yeah. It's been double in the Hawaii game, double digit losses. I mean, it's just been one double digit loss after another. So they're playing much below expectations. That's for sure.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for joining us every Monday.
Thank you, JT. Appreciate it.
That's Mark Anderson. Look, it's not my job to figure out why Armani Rogers can play and he doesn't play. It's the job of guys like Mark, who's really chasing the story and reporting on it, and other people in this building. And it's a shame that the kid is there with the headset on and not being told to go in the game. What am I missing? If he can't play, he can't play. Period. Then I get it. And I'll never question an injury. Never. Question an injury. I didn't play the game. I didn't play at that level. I'm not going to question a college or an NFL player or a high school player playing with an injury or not. But if there's an opportunity for him to go to play for his university that committed to him and the scholarship and everything that they wanted him to become, and in a game like that, 7-7 at the half, you pull the quarterback and you give the program an opportunity to win the game. And if not, let everybody know why. And make it crystal clear from the quarterback's perspective to the coaching staff on what that issue is. I mean, really? 2019? No wins in conference? For a head coach that's raised all this money and recruited some pretty good players. He's been snake bitten by injuries and underachieving quarterback play. That's as far as I'll go, Bobby, to the edge. That's as far as I'll go to the barbed wire fence, because it's college. But you're not going to win in this town without a quarterback. And you better get a good one. Like a kid who can't get into Ohio State or Georgia, or can't get into Penn State, but for whatever reason, he likes those bright lights and he likes the Raider logo. And get that kid here and get multiple of them here so they can play and then start selling tickets. We all know it's a quarterback league. It's a quarterback-driven sport. Go get one. Kevin Bollinger joins us next from Fox 5. He can cover UNLV and obviously the Raiders, as he travels with the Raiders up to Oakland, and he'll have a perspective on everything that happened there. Alsco is the leading provider of rental services for uniform floor mats and restroom supplies across the valley. When you see people with sharp uniforms throughout the valley who are at work, it's probably from Alsco. And especially your bathroom needs, medical needs, when you look at your office space, your restaurant, your business, let Alsco and Bo come inside, take a look, and they can give you exactly what you need, because they do it right, and they do it right quickly. Alsco, ALSCO.com, or give them a call at 702-639-1233. Ask for Bo at 702-639-1233. Kevin Bollinger up next from Fox 5. We'll talk about the Raider win. And Monday Night Football, Philip Rivers warming up in Mexico City. I think this is going to be an excellent game. There's a lot on the line tonight. Pressure for both these teams. Enormous pressure on the Chargers to stay alive.
We did what we had to do if we wanted to try to get in this thing. We still have a long way to go. We're building our team. I'm going to keep emphasizing that. We're not a finished product by any stretch, but we're competing hard, and we're finding ways to win, and our fans are superb. They really help us out.
John Gruden. He loves the fans. He really goes into the black hole. We're brought to you by Remy Martin. Remy Martin XO, the official cognac of the JT the Brick Show. And we're talking football. We're doing it with a Remy Martin on ice over the weekend. Get yourself a Remy Martin VO. You will love it. We appreciate their partnership with us here. Kevin Bollinger, kind enough to join us. He covers everything from the Raiders to UNLV to the Vegas Golden Knights. It's three-card Monty, Kevin. Pick a card. Where do you want to start? Rebels, Raiders, or Golden Knights?
Well, I think, you know, JT, we got to start Raiders. That's, you know, something that I know that's near and dear to your heart. You're with the team a lot, and that was a big win for them yesterday, even though it was against a winless team. But it certainly makes watching Monday Night Football even more interesting tonight, because if the Chargers can pull it off, the Raiders find themselves in first place.
Yeah, that was an interesting game for the Raiders because they had a turnover early. The Bengals scored. Mixon got going early. It looked like he was going to get loose all day and have a big game. But they're playing with such an inferior quarterback compared to Carr, and it just took time for Carr to get more possessions, take the game back under control again, so the Raiders could dominate the time of possession and get up on that team.
Yeah, Carr was very efficient, especially in the first half, 14 of 15. I think he had 151 yards, the one touchdown, and a quarterback rating above 130. Great first half. All 10 points that the Bengals had did come off of the Raider turnovers. So it was kind of a weird game. When we talked to Josh Jacobs in the locker room afterwards, he wasn't happy with his performance, even though you look at his stats and you're like, all right, another solid day. It just kind of the offense seemed to kind of sludge through that one a little bit, and the defense was the one that stepped up, especially Max Crosby. I mean, four sacks. The guy's turning into a beast out there.
Yeah, Kevin Bollinger joins us. I did a podcast with him in London, and he was just so calm and cool, and he's just relaxed, but he's a machine. What I like about him, Kevin, so much is certain guys are supposed to have a motor on every play, and they don't, because it's impossible to come that hard on every play. It's J.J. Watt. It's Khalil Mack. You see players in the league who can do it. And Mad Max is doing that as a rookie. I have not seen him take a playoff or come to the sideline because he's gassed. His physicality, his cardio, makes him a difference maker in the second half of these games.
Well, there's no question, and I think that's where, you know, maybe the Raiders get a one-up on some of these teams down the stretch with this rookie class that has been performing so well. Is these guys are young and they're in shape. And the thing that stands out for me with Crosby is his passion.
Yes.
The guy loves football. And I think, you know, John Gruden often says, I want to find guys that would play for nothing. Max Crosby is a guy who would play for nothing, but he'll take the millions.
Isn't it amazing? Let's just say for a conversation that Crosby ends up getting double digits. You look at his overall numbers in sacks, and he's on pace to doing it. Imagine if this guy gets double digits in sacks, and he gets to Vegas. And the opportunity for the endorsement deals. He's got 6.5 now with a lot of football left. Big plays. And he comes to this city. And there's no Antonio Brown. And there's no Khalil Mack. And there's no Amari Toomer. And he just turns out to be one of those guys. It reminds me of Nate Schmidt. Is that a fair comparison? When Schmidt came here, now he's got a car deal and he's on TV. I could see Mad Max being that guy for the Raiders.
Absolutely. You know, and he's very active on social media. So he's connecting to a lot of people through that. He's somebody who loves the fan base and gets out there and does things with the fans as much as he can. He's certainly a media darling because he's very good at talking on camera and to the newspaper writers as well, and just in terms of kind of conveying his passion. And I think that he's going to play very, very well in Las Vegas. The fans are going to love this guy.
Kevin Bollinger is our guest as we wrap it up. You host a TV show with Tony. I saw you at the game on Saturday. Just real disappointing because we just had Mark Anderson on. It would have been nice if Amani Rodgers was able to get in the game and give them a new look in the second half of that game. I guess that ship has sailed. How disappointing is this season mounting now that they haven't won a game in conference?
Well, it's really disappointing. I mean, they thought that they had the pieces in place to get to six for sure, and if not contend to win the West Division of the Mountain West. And the frustrating part, I think, is you can see that the team is right there. They just haven't been able to turn the corner, and for whatever reason. And I think that, I think that's the part. The culture has changed. We've talked about that a lot, you and I, inside the football program. They just haven't gotten the results yet on the field. But you can see that they're starting to compete, and they're right there. They just haven't put that one game together where both offense and defense both came through. And obviously there's two more opportunities this season to do that, and Rebel fans are hoping that it certainly comes together in the Cannon game Thanksgiving weekend up in Reno. But I think that's the most frustrating part. I think that's frustrating to Tony as well, because he knows that they've got some good pieces in place.
Kevin Bollinger, as we wrap it up, I saw on your Twitter feed you had a photo of Sebastian Janikowski on the sideline, Ricky Henderson. I think you're going to see that. There's only two home games left. I know you'll be up there covering it. It's a big deal for those fans in Oakland. Are you sensing when you're traveling in and out of Oakland, when you're leaving the parking lot and the stadium, that the Oakland fans are starting to say goodbye?
Yeah, they're lingering for sure, because last night we did all the post-game stuff in the locker room and the news conferences, and we decided to take our stuff and go back to the hotel to put our things together. Usually by the time we get to our car, everything's cleared out. It was wall-to-wall traffic because people were kind of post-tailgating. They're savoring every last moment that they can, knowing that there's not many more opportunities to do it. And I think that's why the fan base has been great at games this season. And I just think that everybody kind of just wants to kind of capture lightning in a bottle one more time and just enjoy whatever they can. And I think we'll start seeing a lot of the Bay Area greats coming back one more time to get one more look at the Raiders in Oakland.
Thanks so much, Kevin. Great to talk to you as always.
Thank you, JT.
Kevin Bollinger, Fox 5, the sports director. Appreciate him as the official flagship of the Silver and Black. A lot of fun there. And when it comes to saying goodbye to Oakland, it's going to be really tough. Remember last year, the Raider fans thought it could have been their last game, and they put in a lot of emotion to find out that, no, it's going to be another year. And everything seems to be on time for the Raiders here. The Stadium Authority Board, everything going forward, knock wood, in regards to the construction of Allegiant Stadium, and you just stay out of the way of it. But the Raider Nation is wrapping this up, and there is a chance. And tonight, if the Chargers win, the Raiders are going to be ahead in the division. And there's always a chance that, no, the last home game would be a playoff game. If they win the division, they get a home playoff game. I've always thought Kansas City was better, and much better than the Raiders now as they're going through this reload, rebuild. But it's breaking nicely for the Silver and Black. Patrick Mahomes had a knee injury. I'm happy he's back healthy. Their defense isn't very good, and the Raiders are winning games that they're supposed to win. I almost got it right. I told y'all all last week that Colin Kaepernick was going to cancel the workout, didn't I? I almost had it right. I was right there because I knew it was going to be a mess and an embarrassment. The NFL put the workout together in Atlanta, and they reminded the whole world that no one would show up because they put it on a Saturday. And coaches and GMs have games on Sunday, so they weren't going to be there. And then they put these rules in place for Kaepernick, which, okay, you can't have any media there. Why not? Why can't Kaepernick have his guys there to video for him? It's his workout. Well, the NFL wanted to have certain rules, and Kaepernick wanted certain rules. Then the NFL wanted him to sign a waiver for an injury. How are you going to get injured? How are you going to get injured throwing balls in air with no one tackling you? That rattled Kaepernick. When Kaepernick lost control of the event that was put on by the NFL, he pulled the plug and went to a high school 50 minutes outside of Atlanta. 50 minutes. No chance. Out of the 24 teams that were confirmed, only 8 showed up. And then afterwards, beforehand, he's wearing T-shirts. Remember, kids, young guys wear kind of bizarre T-shirts. He wore the Castro T-shirt. He wore the pig socks, and he wore the Kunta Kinte shirt as he was warming up. Okay, I'm not going to die on that hill for T-shirts. You can wear whatever you want. But then afterwards, when he was done, he started talking and lighting up the owners and Roger Goodell, which if you want to get a job, I have a few of them taken from me. You don't want to light your bosses up or your future bosses up. Here's Kaepernick after the workout at the high school outside Atlanta.
I've been ready for 3 years. I've been denied for 3 years. We all know why I came out here, showed it today in front of everybody. We have nothing to hide. So we're waiting for the 32 owners, the 32 teams, Roger Goodell, all of them to stop running. Stop running from the truth. Stop running from the people. We're out here. We're ready to play. We're ready to go anywhere. My agent, Jeff Nally, is ready to talk to any team. I'll interview with any team at any time. I've been ready. I'm staying ready. And I'll continue to be ready.
He told Roger Goodell, the commission of the league, to stop running from the truth. And then he said to the owners, who all he needs is one to hire him, stop running. Really? What do you want to be? You want to be an activist who wears T-shirts, or do you want to be a football player? You got to do something. It was just a blown opportunity. Very disappointing. And he talked about now that the NFL has got the ball in their court to make a decision about his future.
We'll be waiting to hear from Roger Goodell, the NFL, the 32 teams. We'll let you know if we hear from them. Ball's in their court. We're ready to go.
So I don't know if it was smart for him to cancel in Atlanta. It would have looked better if it was at the Falcons facility. It just looks good. That facility was built by a billionaire, Arthur Blank, who founded Home Depot. It just would have looked more professional there instead of pulling it to a high school and losing people. Can you imagine being a scout and you're there and you look at your phone and they say, we're moving it to this high school and you got to put it in your GPS in Atlanta and it says 51 minutes away? Really? That's what you want to do? You were set up in Atlanta. You had a hotel room in Atlanta. You were there to watch it. You had a per diem. You were going to go out to dinner with other scouts. And Colin Kaepernick says, no, let's get the hell out of here. It's not professional. Not that he has to abide by everything the NFL says he has to, but he had a workout set up, and it didn't go well. And then Tua, the Tua injury that happened for Alabama was completely devastating. Could not believe that that happened. Tua Tagovailoa, the great quarterback for Alabama, now has a similar injury, had surgery today, reportedly it went really well, that Bo Jackson had with a dislocated hip. And that could change. This is the conversation you have going forward about paying kids in college for their likeness, because this kid's got a lot of money on the line in the NFL.
Tua being chased from the pocket. He is hit and throws the ball on the near side. It is incomplete along the 30-yard line, and Tua is not getting up. Tua's helmet is off, and he is not getting up. He is down on all fours. His helmet is being retrieved by Alex Leatherwood. The trainer setting the world land record running across the field in blazing speed. Tua hit hard.
It looked just like the play that he got hurt against Tennessee as he's rolling to his left. The guys roll up behind him and bring him down.
A scary moment personally for Tua, for Bama fans, for the team. This is all happening at the 16-yard line to our right, right alongside the numbers.
Yeah, that hurts. That hurts because we just don't know if he's ever going to play again at a very high level. And that's unfortunate. He's been banged up for most of his career. Really a shame. Hopefully he comes back and he's 100%. Thanks for listening. In a short hour, we're going to cover Monday Night Football for you right here. Chargers and the Chiefs. I'm on satellite radio from 8 to midnight every night. Sirius XM 82. And we'll be back at it for the rest of the week. I got some great Raider legends joining us this week. Follow me on Twitter to see it in advance at JT the Brick.
Have a good night, everybody. All right? Take care.